page 1081, Gospel of John, chapter 11, and verses 1 to 44. So it's quite a long reading. Starting now. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again, in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they might believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go."
Brian, thank you very much indeed for reading. Welcome to the Moorgate Talks. It's great to see you. We have a discussion question to get our thoughts spinning on this issue. In fact, where we're going to be for the next 4 weeks is just in this chapter of John's Gospel, chapter 11. But I'm going to hand over to you for just a couple of minutes around tables. There's a question on the top of your outline there. Why do you think we find it so hard to believe there could be life after death? Now, I'm conscious there's an assumption in that question, but why don't you have a think about that for a couple of minutes, and then I'll draw us back together.
Basically, so the only thing that's tangible is the present, past, and future or not. And yet, the people say,
Right, I'm going to butt in at that point. Chance to carry on discussing, perhaps if you can hang around afterwards. We're going to do something slightly different for the next 4 weeks. So normally we would just take chunk by chunk by chunk. Next 4 weeks, we're going to spend 4 weeks in this chapter of John's Gospel, so the raising of Lazarus, but we're not going to go through sort of chunk by chunk, verse by verse. We're actually going to approach it with four different questions. There's loads to talk about as we look at these verses, and I hope that over the next 4 weeks we'll be able to just really sort of meditate on what Jesus is saying here. Today is going to be just introductory, okay? So sorry in advance if you're expecting us to draw lots of conclusions today. We'll get there, but probably not today. And the issue of this chapter is that Jesus needs to show his disciples what kind of life he's bringing. Because as yet, at this point in the life of Jesus, as yet his disciples do not understand. That is, that the life that he's bringing for his people is not life for this world, but for the world to come. It is not primarily about life before death, but life beyond death and into eternity. That is what the disciples did not get at this point, and that is what they needed to get. And the reason they didn't get it is because, quite naturally, they assumed that death was too much for Jesus to deal with. That Jesus could lift many stones, and he'd done many great miracles and many great healings up until this point in his life. They believed he could lift many stones, but that he couldn't lift that great boulder, death. You know, sometimes you see those white vans on the motorway that are limited to 57 miles an hour, you know, and on the motorway, at least, you think, finally, you know, you've caused me so much grief in the city, but now it's my turn to shine, and you sort of drift smugly past them as they're limited to 57 miles an hour. Well, that's, in a sense, that's where they were at with Jesus at this point. He was a limited Saviour. The Saviour for this life only. He could do a lot. He could open the eyes of the blind. He could raise a paralytic. But as Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, as he lay in the ground, they lost all hope. And we're not much different. As the coffin of a loved one is lowered into the ground, even if we're Christian here today, I don't make any assumptions as to who we've got here today, even if we're Christian, we might know the right things to say, but really, death seems to be the great enemy that could never be moved, and that is our instinct. And there is therefore a kind of faith in Jesus that limits him, and therefore that doesn't actually get who he is or the kind of life he's come to bring. That's where the disciples were. And I think you can see that throughout this chapter. So just have a look with me at verse 16. Firstly, you get Thomas. It's a great comment. It's a great comment from Thomas, this in verse 16. Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, he said to his fellow disciples, and obviously John, who it was one of the disciples, he remembers Thomas saying this, and so he puts it in. Thomas said, let us also go that we may die with him. Now, I think these are great words of grim loyalty. So the Jews want to kill Jesus at this point. Lazarus lives in Bethany, which is only 2 miles away from Jerusalem, the headquarters. And so the disciples, they're saying to him, look, if you go, they're going to kill you. And they're trying to persuade him not to go. When it's clear to them that he is going, probably out of loyalty, Thomas says these words in verse 16. He's going to die, so let's go with him and get it over with. But the point is that Thomas entertained, therefore, no hope that Jesus could do anything about death. That is why John includes those words. He remembers Thomas saying them, and he includes them for that reason. Similarly, Mary, devoted to Jesus, and she sends to him in verse 3, Mary and Martha, with great faith in verse 3, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. She believes he can heal him. But it's very vivid, isn't it, that once her brother is dead, Even when she hears that Jesus is coming to the village, she doesn't get up from her seat. You see that in verse 20? When Martha heard Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. It's very easy to imagine, isn't it? In the grief of her sister. She remained seated. Why? Because she thought that there was now no hope. And come to verse 32, and you see when she does come to Jesus, what she says to him in verse 32, when Mary came to where Jesus was, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now these are words, I think, of gentle rebuke to Jesus, but also showing where she's at with him. She believes a lot about Jesus. He could have healed Lazarus of this disease, whatever it was. We don't know what it was, the disease that was killing him. She believed that. But now that he's in the ground, do you see, not even Jesus the Messiah can help. That's where she's at. It's a kind of faith that may be summarized like this, I think. Jesus is good, but death is Lord. Jesus is good, but death is Lord. There are many stones that Jesus can move, but the gravestone is too heavy. Death will have the final say, and there's nothing anyone can do about that, not even Jesus. I wonder if you recognize this kind of faith. Perhaps in yourself, in the church. And then there are the friends and family who show the same thing in verse 37. You'll see there the friends and family, or some of them say among themselves, they don't say it to Jesus, I don't think, they say it among themselves, they say, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" It's the same thing, isn't it? Jesus is good. He could have saved him in this life. But death is Lord. Not even he can do anything now. The disciple who comes off best is Martha. So she's closest to believing. But notice that not even Martha really believes that Jesus can do it. Look in verse 21. Martha comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Exactly the same thing as Mary said. Verse 22, she does say, "But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Now, some have suggested that that shows that she believes that Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead. I don't think that can be right because of what she later goes on to say. Rather, here she believes that Jesus has access to God and therefore can appeal to God on Lazarus's behalf. Perhaps that God might comfort Lazarus now that he's dead. This is confirmed, of course, when it comes to the crunch, because as they're standing in front of the tomb, in verse 38 and 39, who is it who objects? Martha. "Lord, by this time there will be an odour, for he's been there for 4 days." Jesus says, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Not even Martha believed that he could do it. And so therefore, Thomas, Mary, Martha and their friends, they all show the same kind of faith in Jesus as a limited saviour, a saviour for this life only. They believed a lot about Jesus, but death was too great an enemy for him. Jesus is good, but death is Lord. I just want to pause to think about this for a second. Notice, by the way, that they were not gullible pre-moderns who were waiting eagerly to believe in anything, as the new atheists will tell us that these early disciples were. They were just the same as us. They knew that people did not rise from the dead. Makes us ask, of course, why do we find it so hard to believe that there could be any kind of hope? I think the answer is because death is the ancient enemy. We've lived under its shadow from the dawn of time. There is no collective memory of anything but death. And I think we therefore cannot imagine what it might be like to have that darkness taken away. We can't even imagine it. It's been there for so long. To be able to live forever as we were made to do and as we long for. And so therefore I think we do our best not to think about it. You'll know this from your colleagues around. When was the last time that someone sort of said, right, let's think about death. I'd love to talk about death with you and the reality of it and what we're going to do about it. I read an article over the weekend. There's an interview with Rick Stein. You may have heard of him, Rick Stein, the fish and chips man. I think he's more than fish and chips, actually. I think he does other stuff as well. And he's just had a heart transplant in his late 70s. And the title of this article was Rick Stein, Life, Death, and something else that I can't remember. But I picked it up thinking, you know, we've got 4 weeks on this topic, so actually it might have something useful to say. I read the article, though, and he says absolutely nothing about death, no reflections at all, just that he knows his time is short and so therefore he's going to make the most of his life in the meantime. Now, I think naturally we're all the same. We don't like to think about it. I'm getting to that stage in life where some of my friends who aren't Christians have begun to be honest enough to say to me that they're actually pretty terrified of dying. And life is becoming increasingly the distraction project as that day fast approaches. The shadow of death hangs heavily on us. And we find it very hard to believe, very hard to believe that there could be any hope of it being taken away. And I want to conclude our time here. Because it is this despair in the face of death that even his disciples felt that is why Jesus allowed Lazarus to die. Do you see that? Verse 6. So when he heard Lazarus was ill, he immediately went to where Lazarus was to make sure he could heal him before he died. No, he stayed there for 2 days longer. And then verse 15, Jesus says, says plainly in verse 14, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad. Literally, I rejoice that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Why? Why does he allow Lazarus to die? In order to show what kind of life he's bringing. The life he's bringing is not for this world, but for the world to come. And therefore a deliberate delay, like the surgeon who says, well, let's just wait until they're dead and then I'll operate. Jesus knew they didn't get it. And so he says, verse 15, so that you may believe. It's right at the heart of who he is and right at the heart of the kind of life that he really is bringing. And the point of this chapter as we go through is going to be this. If we think death is too much for Jesus, then we have neither understood who he is nor the kind of life that he brings. And there are going to be some questions that God is going to be asking us as we read this together over the next 3 weeks. Questions like, are we willing to take our self-imposed limits off Jesus? Are we willing to begin to dream of the possibility of full, joyful, bodily resurrection, life forever with God? Are we willing to dream that Jesus actually is a far, far greater Saviour with far, far more glorious power to give life beyond this world than we may have imagined? Are we willing to be led by the evidence to the conclusion, not that Jesus is good and death is Lord, but that Jesus is Lord and death is gone for those who believe in him. Well, as we close, those words again from verse 15. For your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.